So I started teaching this morning on the Christian character trait of diligence. That was part one, and we're going to finish up diligence part two this evening. Just a little bit of a refresher for you, the definition of diligence. Diligence is preserving a careful, persevering and careful in work and putting forth steady effort. We explained to you the main Hebrew word, the main Greek word, and we explained as well that in relationship to diligence and its association to the work, that we're to put forth the effort, whether it's mental, physical, or whether it's temporal or spiritual. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." In relationship to point number two now, it's clearly demanded in the Scriptures that we be diligent in everything that we undertake. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. We're going to look at two scripture verses for this second point, the demand for diligence. Diligence is not an option, but it's a primary trait that we are commended to make a part of our character. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." We read that as a part of a second, some scripture that we preached this morning, but God expects us to work. God expects us to be diligent. One other that puts it that way we didn't look at, and that's Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, it says this, And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily." That means put yourself in it. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not to men." See, your Christian testimony is at stake. I talked to you about that this morning. So as your employer looks at how he works, if he knows you're a Christian, you're going to call reproach upon the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a slacker. You need to put forth diligent effort. If you are the head of the family, you need to put forth diligent effort to be the head of the family. If you're the wife, you need to put forth diligent effort to keep the home and keep those duties and rear those children and whatever things that your husband asks. That is the way it works. So whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Just to put it in my own words, whatever your task or job is, work at it diligently because you are really working for the Lord. That's basically what that is saying. And so diligence is commanded by God. Now, this evening in part two, really you could subtitle this "The Enemies of Diligence," because that's what we're going to be dealing with this evening. The enemies of diligence. And I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. We're going to look at Proverbs 6, 6. It's going to give some guidance to parents, or perhaps to grandparents, tell some things about ourselves as well. But in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6 through 11, it's interesting. When we were doing our character studies with our children, one of the character studies we did was on the ant. You say, the ant? Yeah. It says in Proverbs 6 and verse 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." Now, what's a sluggard? Well, a sluggard is somebody who's lazy. A sluggard is somebody who's unmotivated. A sluggard is somebody who is not diligent. And it's very interesting. We have recurring anthills in our yard. Every year I try and get rid of them. Every year they come back. But I have spent some time looking at ants, and if you watch, they are very busy. They are very diligent. And under the inspiration of the Scripture, the writer of Proverbs says, go look at the ants. Consider her way and be wise. Now watch this. It says, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler. They're diligent and nobody's watching them. They're diligent even when people are not watching them. All right? It says, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in harvest. And then there's an indictment to the person who is lazy. There's an indictment to somebody who just wants to sleep their life away, play their life away. It says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? It says, when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, one who's having labor pains, and thy want as an armed man. Man, oh man. An indictment about being lazy. God does not endorse laziness. Even when people aren't around, God doesn't expect you to be a sluffer. God doesn't expect you to be a slacker. Even when your parents aren't looking. So, I wanted to look at the enemies of diligence this evening. And the first one is quite obvious. The first one is the old nature. The old nature. We all have an old nature. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we get a new nature. Praise God for that. But the old nature is still there. And if we let that dominate, it'll certainly cause problems in our life. Psalm 58, verse 3 tells us that we're estranged from the womb. And basically, what that's telling us is we're born sinners. We're sinners from the very moment of our birth. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says we were by nature children of wrath. By birth, we're born sinners. And that becomes very clear in a short time. Parents soon discover that they do not have to train their children to want their own way. Didn't ever have to train my kids to do that. My parents didn't have to train me to do that. My daughters and son, they didn't have to train their kids to do that. They do not have to enroll them in the class to learn to be selfish. That just comes naturally. It's part of the old nature. No one has to teach your children to have temper tantrums. We're having a temper tantrum class next week, so if you want to learn how to have a temper tantrum, well, as they grow older, nobody has to teach them to rebel against authority. Nobody has to teach them to learn how to say no. It's very interesting. You don't have to say not yet. You make your lips like this and say, no, Mom. Nobody has to teach them how to say that. Nobody has to teach them how to try and get out of work and how to want to do their own thing. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Poor parents who don't believe in biblical correction of their children and practice it generously under the right situations, because, as you know, we're supposed to train up a child in the way that they are to go, not the way that they want to go. And if you start early doing that, the sooner you get to quit, because they learn that. The Bible says in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 29:15, the rod and reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And I already mentioned to you Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. The fact is that if you do not train your children to be diligent and to be hard workers, they will not be. It does not happen by accident. Children would rather pray. They'd rather play. They'd rather do their video games. They'd rather do their Facebook. They'd rather do the TV watching. They would rather do just about anything than being diligent. And kids aren't the only one. Our old nature, our flesh, is the adversary of diligence. That old nature is the adversary of diligence. Now, I'd like to take and parse that a little bit about that. Another enemy or a second enemy to diligence that's coupled directly at that is permissive parents. Permissive parents are the prime enemies of diligence. And yet some parents do not even realize that they're undermining this biblical characteristic that God wants developed in our lives. So you might say, well, how does a parent undermine diligence? How does he encourage laziness? Well, I'm going to share some things, and you might not necessarily like it, but I've given some serious thought to this. Number one, by giving their children everything. By giving their children everything. When children never want anything, you create a dependent child instead of an independent child. Obviously, I believe in working. We taught our children how to work. And while certainly they did get some allowance, there was jobs they had to do even when they didn't get allowance, friends. You teach your children to be diligent by giving them tasks to do and seeing that they do them. Not only that, children never learn to appreciate the value of money or possessions if you give them everything that they want. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9 gives us a glimpse of that when it says this: "He also that is slothful in his work is the brother of him that is a great waster." If you give them everything that they want, it's going to undermine diligence, the desire to be diligent, and they're going to get this gimme attitude that so penetrates our culture. And we'll be talking a little bit about that in just a moment. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24, 30 and 31. In Proverbs chapter 24, and look what it says: "I went to the field of the slothful," and it says, "and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone walls thereof were broken down." Man, oh man, your children aren't going to appreciate the value of things if you give them everything and they don't have to work for anything. Number two, you undermine diligence and create somebody who's lazy by not seeing your children complete a task. I alluded to that in the morning message. It is wise to begin early with your children to teach them to pick up their toys. To pick up their toys. You say, man, you're getting real basic, preacher. You know, one of the things that's very interesting, we have toy baskets at our house, and boy, the kids can get those toys out lickety-split and dump them, and the grandkids, and they're all over the place. But one thing I appreciate about my daughters and their husbands, as you know what, it's time to go, and you know what they say? Oh, it's time to pick up those toys. And you know what? I do not say, oh, no, that's okay, we'll pick them up. No, they dump the toys. They ought to pick them up. They made the mess. They ought to clean it up. There ought to be some responsibility there. Now, on certain circumstances, if there's a difficulty, if there's a problem, certainly we will assist. But you need to teach your children early, the little kids, to complete a task. When the children are allowed to jump from one thing to another and not complete tasks, then you're undermining diligence and you're teaching them to be negligent. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27 says, "A slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. But the substance of a diligent man is precious." It is kind of fun to hunt. I taught all my children who wanted to hunt how to hunt. I taught them all to use firearms. And yet you can ask them to this day, when you shoot something, you eat it. It was rough eating that groundhog that time. But it's true. Be careful. And when you're working with people, even when you're doing follow-up with Christian people, teach them to be diligent. There's a lot of grown-ups who don't know how to be diligent today. And so if you have the opportunity to intervene and to work with them, when you give them assignment, have them follow through on it. Number three, by allowing their children to make the easy choices instead of the right choices. It is very difficult sometimes to make sure that your children make the right choices and not the easy choices. Sometimes it's easier just to let them make the easy choices, but that's not helping them a bit. Now, I found that the right choices in life are often not the easy choices. Any of you found that out? Very often the right choices are not the easy choices. And if you always let them take the easy way out, you're not teaching them follow through. You're not teaching them diligence. Too many parents allow their children to make the little, easy, soft choices in life. They often show themselves in taking the easy courses instead of the courses that stretch you. And to be real honest with you, I did some of that in high school. I did some of that in high school. I took some of the easy choices. I worked very hard with my dad in some other areas, but I took some of the easy choices, and I look back in it now. I wish I would have been more diligent in taking those things, because you'd be surprised. I remember screaming, yelling, and carrying on when I had to take French. I hated that, you know. And I remember kicking up and down saying, I never in the world will use French. You know where the Lord landed up my wife and myself? In Haiti. You know what the trade language is in Haiti? French. Well, I just want to tell you, fortunately, my parents said, nope, you're sticking with a college prep course. And to get in college, you can take Latin or French. And I said, Latin's a dead language, as dead as it can be. First it killed the Romans, and now it's killing me. Nonetheless, now I wish that I would have taken Latin, because a lot of older theological works are written in Latin. And I do not know much Latin at all. E pluribus unum, whatever, I can't even say that. Unum, there, that's about the Latin that I know. Well, but back to the point. So oftentimes the easy choices are not the right choices. It often shows itself in the courses taken, and then when you get into a school play, you should make, if your children go out for it and get a part, you should make them complete it. Unless there's some health problem, if they go out for a sport and get in a sport, you should make them follow through on completing that. If they are doing anything in life, they should complete it. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4 illustrates it. It says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. How many of you have ever had in your life outside jobs? Can I see your hands? Okay. You know, one thing I hate about outside jobs, that's when you work in the cold. That's when you work in the cold. Mike, you know a little bit about that. You know, I remember that. I worked for my dad, and I made good money working for my dad. And I remember when we were out shoveling the snow late at night, because a lot of times when you took the job cleaning the snow and plowing the snow came, it didn't matter. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you had to have the snow plowed and the walk shoveled before the business is open the next morning. So I'm up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and in those days the heaters in the car weren't as good as they used to be, or in the truck in our case, and so I'm there, out there freezing and shoveling snow, and I says, oh, Dad, can't we go home? He says, no, we've got a commitment. We've got to clean this up. We've promised to do this. And so he made me follow through on that. Allowing your children to make the easy choices instead of the right choices is not a good way to teach them to be diligent. Another thing, allowing laziness and inactivity. Proverbs 19:24, it says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth. Some people just want to be couch potatoes. They just want to sit there. They just want to do anything. And, you know, we're raising a whole generation of couch potatoes. They just come in and they play their video games. They're at their computer. They sit there and have their earbuds in their ears, and parents don't even know what they're doing on the internet. They don't even know the music that they're listening to. They don't check up on any of that stuff. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they're watching. Big mistake, parents. Big mistake. I want to tell you that. Why don't you teach the girls to knit or to crochet or to sew or to cook? Why don't you teach your boys how to cook? Why don't you teach your boys how to do repairs? How to teach your girls how to change a tire? Teach your boys how to change a tire. Get them to do something. Get them off the couch. Get them interested in some physical type of activity. Get them involved in Christian service. Get them involved in doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. But a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. It says, so shall poverty come to one that travaileth, and they want as an armed man. You know, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 shows us the outcome of laziness and inactivity. The outcome of laziness and inactivity is poverty. It's poverty. Proverbs 6, 10 and 11. Proverbs 6, 10 and 11, it says this. We just saw that, the little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. It says, so shall thy poverty come. And so it's going to be there. Also, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 21, 25 and 6. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25 and 26, it says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hand refuseth to labor. He coveteth greedily all day. You know, the slothful person, the lazy person, does not think about working. That doesn't occupy his mind. What occupies his mind is greedy thoughts, jealousy, wanting other things that other people have, but not wanting to put forth the effort to get it. He wants what others have, and even more than that, he feels that someone owes it to him. We live in a culture that so many people look at themselves as being victims. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, you reject that victim mentality. Just because you had a bad childhood, don't blame things on that. You know, if you commit your way unto the Lord and you trust also in Him, the Lord can get you over that. The Lord can put you on the right direction, and He can get you going in the right way. But the lazy person kind of says, well, I deserve it, but I don't have it. Somebody needs to give it to me. That's not fair. That's not fair. Proverbs 26:16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. It's hard to argue with somebody who has the victim mentality. It's hard to argue with somebody who is wise in their own conceit. They've always got an answer. Just be cautious. You just need to be so careful that you don't allow your children to have the victim mentality. Be careful, parents. You don't give your children everything. Be careful that you don't allow your children to leave all these tasks uncompleted. When you give them a job, make sure that they see it through. Don't allow them to make the easy choices, but make them make the right choices. Help them to make the right choices. Don't allow them to be lazy. They should have a get-up time. They should have a go-to-bed time. Some parents have no idea. Their kids are up till playing video games till 2, 3, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. They're on Facebook, they're on YouTube, they're on MySpace, they're playing the video games, they're doing all those things. Their parents have no idea what's going on in the lives of their children. Well, shame on you. You ought to be knowing what's going on. Today in this nation, it's kind of like the Uncle Sam grab bag. I'm telling you, back it started in 1974. with the SSI. Crazy money was the jargon back then in the 70s when they brought in SSI, giving families and people who claimed certain problems, giving them money to help low-income people. And I can understand where you can help someone who's genuinely disabled. But my problem is you've got so many people who are people who could be working, people who have an alcohol problem, and you give them disability because they're drunks. I mean, that happens so often. You give them, they're drug addicts, and so you put them on disability. You know what that does? That just makes them not face the reality of things. And, you know, when somebody loses a limb, I can understand that. But it's very, very clear that so many times and so many government programs today are aiding people in being slothful. According to a 60 Minutes story, some SSI recipients were having their checks mailed directly to the liquor store. Great. My tax dollar at work. I really love that. According to the Reader's Digest, Social Security Administration workers have been sent in to down-and-out neighborhoods to hand out pamphlets and ask, are you an alcoholic, a drug addict? Then you may qualify for SSI. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. Many drunks and addicts are collecting government money, and that just helps them perpetuate their sin. And they are not in treatment. They don't have the desire to be in treatment. Their goal is not to get rehabilitated so that they can go back to work. The Bible clearly warns against laziness. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute or be in bondage. You know, Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 tells us, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. God intended for able-bodied people to work. I'm very, very concerned about the current generation who do not have a good work ethic. They are not diligent. Now, there's some here that are very diligent. They're raising diligent children. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, you know, we're moving into a country that is becoming more and more socialistic. And what you have is a few people that are doing the work to support the rest of the people who do not want to do the work or will not do the work. Friends, that's unscriptural. That isn't the way that it should be. When a slothful person works for you, I had a slothful person work for me who claimed to be a Christian years ago when Lynn and I owned a business. And Proverbs 10:26 was so true. It says, as vinegar to the teeth. You ever had vinegar on your teeth? Oh, it just sets your teeth on edge. It's like hitting a fork on your teeth. I hate that. You ever? Oh, makes me shiver just thinking about it. It says, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes. What happens when smoke gets in your eyes? Man, you're tearing up and oh, it burns and you're not feeling good. So is the sluggard to them that send him. You give a lazy person a job to do, and you know what? They're not going to carry through. It's not going to get done. And you're going to be left holding the bag. Slothful people, they have so many rationalizations about why they can't do things. Turn with me to Proverbs 22 and verse 13. Here's a lazy person. You say, well, why didn't you do what I told you to do? Well, here's the answer. A slothful man say, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Oh, give me a break. You know, I might walk out and break my neck too. So I guess, you know, the fact of the matter is that God's word is very clear about the fact that we need to be diligent. And parents, you need to be diligent about rearing your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And one of the things that you're required to do as parents is to train your children to be diligent. We definitely need people who are diligent. We need to be diligent people. And, you know, it's very interesting. When you are a diligent person, that gets to be known. And you know who I usually ask to do the jobs first? Somebody who's already doing the job. Somebody who's diligent. Now, you got to learn to say no, because by the same token, a diligent person can be so overloaded that they can't possibly meet all that they need to do. But the reason that diligent people get more work is because they show that they're diligent, and people want to get diligent people to do their work, so it isn't like having vinegar on your teeth and being disappointed and hearing the excuses. Well, it's because I was afraid there was a lion out there and I didn't want to get eaten. You know? It's really something how our culture has degenerated. There used to be a solid work ethic in this nation, and I've seen it in the past three decades. And those of you who've had to hire people know it as well. I've seen it in the past three decades, it degenerating so bad. It's so difficult. And then the laws don't help that, because sometimes the laws militate against it. And I think maybe Carla would agree with me, but particularly in the military. You know what they do with non-diligent people in the military? They promote them. Ask Carla and see if I'm not right. They just want to get them out of their department. Because there's so many strings attached to try and separate somebody from the military. You know what's happening in a lot of the colleges and universities? Yeah, you get people in with tenure. This was told to me. Somebody who worked at Delphi, and it made this person so aggravated, but his boss every day in his 8-hour shift would bring his golf club and bring some golf balls, and 6 hours out of the 8-hour day, he would practice his putting. Pretty nice for a $75,000 a year job to practice putting. So in those gym cars that we buy, you know how come they cost so much? They're paying a lot of people to putter. But there's a lot of that. That has changed somewhat with the characteristic of what's happening in business now. But be diligent. Be diligent yourself. Train your children to be diligent. And the Lord indeed will honor that. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody here who just it's a challenge to be diligent. I understand that. There's a lot of you who get up and you go to jobs and you don't feel good. And the only reason you don't go to a job is when you're really, really sick. But you know what? There's a lot of people who just don't want to go, and so they just call in sick. That's not being diligent either. Lots more I could say, but I've said enough.